could keep the meeting, the disruption down to a minimum. Thank you. And I'd like to introduce you to the second speaker tonight, which is Jessica.
Thanks, Charlie.
Hi, my name is Jessica and I'm an addict.
Hi, Jessica.
And, you know, every time I get asked to do a share, I just, my brain, I get in this brain freeze, you know, and I just go, and it's like, oh, okay, experience, strength, hope, sponsor. Experience, strength, hope. I mean, it's like this sort of complete paralysis. So, this evening I thought, well, I'll just sit here and I'll be inspired by the first speaker, and I listened to Vivek, and I just felt hopelessly outclassed. And he said everything that you need to ever hear about NA. So now I'm going to say the same things, but with a lot more waffle and for a really long time. Settle in. it was lovely to sort of be aware of how many people are here tonight are quite new to this fellowship or even here for the first time. And, you know, I'd just like to say that this, coming through this door and sitting in this seat, for me, was the most courageous thing I ever did in my life. So, you know, give yourself some kudos just for being here, because it's not easy to come in here. It's terrifying, actually. You know, I've been here many, many years, and I'm terrified. I'm sitting here like, I feel like I'm in front of a firing squad almost. The point is that we do it, and we turn up and we do it anyway, and that's how this works. You know, this is not, it's not a program of education. It's not something that, you know, I'm ever going to pass an exam in or get a degree in or graduate, you know, and then leave. This is a daily thing that I do, and I don't really know how it works, but I know that just by turning up and coming here one day at a time, my life is completely changed. And it's unrecognisable to what it was when I first came in here. You know, I first came in here when I was 36. And you know, so relatively OLD, actually. And I had no experience of living without using and without drinking. I had absolutely no picture of what that looked like, and I was really, really confused. So, you know, if you're feeling that same way, it's natural. You know, I mean, if it was, you know, what I always say is, if it was easy to stop using, you know, if we could just snap our fingers and stop, we wouldn't need NA. We wouldn't be here in the first place. You know, we're here because it's not easy, and it's counterintuitive. It goes against everything that I ever experienced and known, you know. And my whole life experience was about trying to keep myself safe from what I perceived to be a really dangerous and chaotic world. And the best way that I learned how to do that was to build really, you know, strong defences, and one of those defences against, you know, feeling the fear and threat that I felt continuously was by using. I had lots of other strategies as well, you know, and I discovered, I'm in the process of discovering what those are, you know, and I think I will be for the rest of my life, but through the work that I occasionally do in here, and the feedback that I get from others, I'm slowly getting to kind of know who I am. And this recovery I regard very much as a kind of a process it's a journey to integrity and a journey to sort of to knowing myself. And consequently to liking myself more than I did before. One of the things that I love about NA is that there's not really, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you how to do it. You know, I'm going to tell you my story. And what I love about coming here is hearing other people's stories and their lives. And, you know, it's the best free show in town. There's just no doubt about it. And, you know, we all got here in the same way, but with lots of different variations. my story is that I'm from Australia, and I was, you know, born into a family that was, you know, bohemian, and there was a lot of my mum was very young, and my father was a big addict and alcoholic. Grandiose, lived in a, you know, he lived a pretty much a fantasy, in a fantasy world, I think, you know, he was a con man, really. That was his profession, I'd say, more than any other. I mean, he had lots of different strings to his bow, but anyway, it's not about my father. But we, you know, my parents split up when I was very young, and I went to, we moved a lot, and my mum was a single mum, and we didn't have much money, and I went to like 13 different schools, and we were always moving, and what I, one, you know, a skill that I learned very early was to, it was basically moving, you know, and what, that's what I've come to understand as a geographicals, but I developed a great skill for just leaving a situation, leaving all the people and never going back. And I got myself out of trouble a lot by doing that, you know, throughout all my years of using. I was very good at just leaving flats, leaving bills, leaving friends, leaving, you know, all this chaos. And in some ways, that's how I escaped consequences. I just ran a lot, you know, I ran and ran and ran. And then I'd find new friends and new jobs and new situations. And I sort of regarded that as progress. You know, I'd get a better job, and I'd get friends that had, you know, a bit swankier, that weren't living in a squat, but they were, you know, taking coke in a hotel room instead. I mean, it was the same shit, different clothes, basically. And I managed to do this really, you know, it's like a fast, like dancing as hard as I could for a long, long time. And by the end of it, I was absolutely exhausted. And, you know, exhausted to a point where I had no, it was like my spirit had been crushed by just trying to make a life out of this chaos that I was in all the time. And, you know, I have to say, I was really flummoxed by it, because I really could, I never have regarded myself as a stupid person, but my life was a mess, you know, and I couldn't understand it. And I came to the conclusion that I must be either insane, and like, I must be insane and I just don't know it, or cursed, which seemed to make more sense to me, like that I had a curse on me. Like, I'm not insane, I'm just cursed. But I'd really, you know, I came from you know, when I was growing up, all the people that my parents knew were all addicts and alcoholics, and it was kind of like a circus living at our house. I mean, it was kind of, it's great. It was fantastic. There were always people in and out and mad, you know, parties with transvestites and music and art and cooking and going on all hours of the day and the night, and people coming around and climbing in the windows, and stuff was always going on. And So for me, that was my normality. And I have to say, you know, and I do really try and remember this, is that those people that I grew up with, they're the people that I love. You know, they're my family and they're my friends, and they are the kind of people that I've known and surrounded myself with all my life. And I don't, you know, I'm not looking to somehow suddenly abandon that. You know, that my people are addicts, you know, and they still are. And all my friends are addicts, actually, pretty much. But a lot of them are in recovery now. But they're the same people. You know, this isn't about, you know, me suddenly getting all moral. And they, you know, we talk about a bridge to normal living and everything else. And I'm not really on board with that. I think a bridge to living is great, but I just don't know anything about normal. And I don't really want to. You know, it's like, that's not, normal isn't something that I aspire to at all. You know, what I aspire to is living, and living really, and living fully, you know. And when I was using, I was only really existing. You know, I didn't ever feel fully alive. Now I'm jumping around all over the place, but I used for such a long time, and then there's an avalanche of stories, you know, that I could tell you about using, but I just feel so lucky that at a certain point I was in so much pain, and I was so desperate, and I was just sort of going out and using every night, and I was almost, you know, to the point where I didn't want to go home because I just didn't want to be on my own. I didn't want to have to wake up with myself, so I just carry on. And someone said to me, one of my friends said to me, "Jess, your friends can't help you anymore. You have to go to NA." And I just thought that was so... I mean, I just thought, how dare you? How dare you say that to me? But it really struck a chord. And I went the next day. I picked up the phone to the NA helpline, and at that lunchtime, I was in a meeting in Soho, and that was a day that changed my life, you know. And so, if anyone's here for the first time, you know, just this is my experience. And I went into that room and I sat down, and I was practically bent double with shame. All these people were sharing, and I was just thinking, fuck off, don't look at me, you know, oh, just, will this please be over, you know. And then at the end they said, "Is anyone here for the first time?" And I kind of, you know, put my finger up like that, and they all started clapping, and I just thought, oh, why don't you just go and fuck yourself, you know, leave me alone, and everything. But I was there, you know, this is the point, I was there, and I came back again, you know, and then I came back again. And I kept coming back again, and you know, I kept coming back, and I kept using, you know, I kept on relapsing, and I was like, you know, I'd get a week clean, and then I'd relapse, and then I'd get like 7 months clean, and then I'd relapse, and another week, another day, and it just went on and on and on, and I kept using, and I kept coming back, and... And in the end, you know, I was horrible. I mean, I was absolutely horrible to everybody. You know, I had no intention of making any friends or, you know, any of that. So basically, I came in and I hated everyone, and I kept using, but I kept coming to the meetings. Now, what? And after months, well, actually not months, years, 2.5 years of this, I was really starting to kind of question myself, like, why do you keep going to those meetings? Because, you know what, you don't have to go. Nobody's making you, you know, except for Bev. And and I was still here, you know, and I was still coming. And when I look back on it, I really regard it as you know, what I say is that we... And people used to say, well, why, you know, why did you use? And after, you know, 6 months or whatever. And I used to think that's such a dumb question, you know, why did you use? Because what I was trying to figure out was, why did you not use, you know, today? And the way I describe it is that it felt like learning to swim, and I felt that I was going to drown the whole time. And it took... for me, a very long time to feel like I wasn't going to drown or die or completely disappear down into a hole in the ground if I didn't use. Now, I'm not suggesting that if you're new here that you take 2.5 years to get clean, because that was just a complete waste of time. But that's, you know, that's my story and that's my process, and I just think it's different for everyone, and it's important to say that, because if you do, you know, this is not about being perfect. It's about, you know, living a day at a time. And the day at a time thing, you know, as well, I always thought that was just a big con to try and trick me into staying here forever. So, you know, just stay for one, it's like, you know, just have one little sweetie little girl, just stay for one day and then come back another day. You know, it's like, oh, I felt like that was such a con. But what I realise now is that it's actually the real magical part of this program. You know, we've got a lot of different things in this program. Not that many, but we've got steps and traditions and sponsors and, you know, meetings and all of that stuff. But the concept of a day at a time is, it's the building block of everything. You know, if I can stay clean for one day, then that's all there is. You know, it's like, what I'm doing right now and who I am right now is what informs the whole rest of my life. And actually, you know, that's quite an extraordinary concept. What it allows me to do is change my whole life in a minute. Like right now, I can change my life. I can stay clean this second, you know. And I don't have to worry about the next second or, what, you know, what happened 10 minutes ago. You know, oh my God, I'm going to have to use because of what I did 10 minutes ago, you know, and I feel so terrible about yesterday and everything else. It's like, no, if I'm clean now, I'm clean, and that's it. And my whole world has the potential to change. And that's, I think when I really got that, I kind of found courage to stay clean for a day, and then another day, and then another day. And I got a sponsor, and I had a lot of difficulty getting a sponsor because I hated everybody, and I certainly wasn't going to have a sponsor that I hated. And they were all bitches, and I didn't want to have any of them. And I was going to this meeting in Notting Hill, where they were all the real bitches went, I'd gone in, and I was one day again. You know, it was like I'd used again, and I had to go and jam myself into, like, sit over there so that I couldn't get out the door, you know, so that, I could not physically leave the meeting because there were so many other people in the way. And I went and jammed myself in the corner, and I thought, yeah, well, I'll stay here, but I'm not going to say anything because fuck you, you know. And then I did, and I got up, and I thought, well, I'm certainly not going to say anything and humiliate myself in front of them, you know, those women, those NA, Notting Hill. And I got out and I did. I picked up a white key ring and I burst into tears, and I just felt like I wanted to kill myself and everyone else. And I went out of the meeting, and one of those bitches came up to me and talked to me in a way that I thought, what? This person, you know, this is a really, really very insightful, kind and clever woman. And she, anyway, she became my sponsor. And that was great because I suddenly felt like I wasn't completely alone, you know, and you know, one of the things that I always thought in my life, I was absolutely convinced of, was that I was going to die and nobody would ever have known me, actually. And now I've done a fifth step, that's just not possible. You know, that's just not going to happen because somebody knows me, you know, knows pretty much mostly everything about me. There's always more, but, you know, as to the best of my ability, I've revealed a lot about myself. And, you know, when I talk about this stuff, It's like I revealed what I knew about myself at that time, but I think, you know, you were saying earlier about having no defects. Well, I, you know, I didn't have any defects either when I came in, because I didn't know, I was unaware, you know. And it's like, so doing the steps is really, you know, nobody can, like, I used to read the steps and I think, yeah, well, I get that. I understand, you know, what those steps are all about. It totally makes sense. But I didn't think I actually had to do them, because I'd already read them and I understood them. And I, you know, it's like, I'm smart, I get it, you know, and I read the book. And of course, you know, that makes sense. But the point is, doing the steps is not the same as understanding the steps. It's like, you know, it's like going to the gym. It's developing muscles that I didn't know I had. It's learning skills that I, you know, it's like learning to play music. You can't get it out of reading a book. I have to do it, you know, I have to do it, I have to practice it, and all of this stuff. And through the process of the steps, I've started to, you know, find out things about myself. And when we talk about a moral inventory, you know, the idea of an inventory is not just everything that's bad, it's everything. It's like when you do an inventory of a shop, it's everything that's in the shop, it's not just all the crap, you know. It's all the good stuff too. And I didn't know about any of that either. You know, so it's more is revealed all the time, you know. The thing I've been finding out about lately is self-pity, you know, because I hate people that are self-piteous. I can't stand them. And that's because, you know, I'm riddled with it. You know, all this stuff that what we call, you know,
sorry.
That's okay. Anyway, the steps. Well, you know, what we call defects of character, I prefer to see them it's like a positive-negative balance sheet. I'm not really, I don't really go for the idea of just sort of beating myself up all the time. And, you know, I do. That's what I do. I do beat myself up a lot. But I don't think that's what my higher power wants for me to do, you know, wants for me. So when I talk about my defects of character, I really try and see that they are the negative side of a character trait which also has a positive side, and trying to, you know, try and find that. And that's very much something that's in the third step. So in the third step it says, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. And it doesn't say to hand our will and our lives over, so it's not like an abnegation of my responsibility for my own life. But when I think about, you know, turning something over, it's seeing the other side. And, you know, when I feel like I'm actually practicing my third step, it's when I'm seeing the other side in every situation in my life. And that's very hard to do, because I'm very, very committed to the side that I'm committed to. You know, I take sides all the time. And I have opinions about everything, you know, and I'm not, it takes a lot for me to examine the other side, because I don't want to know about it, the other side. It doesn't agree with my opinion, you know. But what's great is, the longer I stay here, the more I get the opportunity to do all this stuff that I don't really want to do, but as every time I do it, it changes my life, you know. And these little tiny things that I try and practice every day add up to a complete revolution in who I am. You know, I don't really recognise myself as who I was when I came in here at all. How long have I got, Johnny?
10 minutes.
Okay. So I think You know, one thing that I really often talk about is the reasons that I got clean are very different to the reasons that I stayed clean. You know, to me, when I came in here, it was pretty much I was out of options. You know, I didn't have anywhere else to go. And I came in here and it was like a rock in a hurricane. You know, I could just cling on and, you know, and hold on and hope that things got better. And slowly, slowly, everything's changed. And there's a part of me that thinks, yeah, well, you know, so I won't need to do this forever. You know, I could maybe leave. And the truth is, I can. You know, there's no obligation on any one of us to be in this room. But I choose to come back, and I choose to come back, and I choose to come here regularly, and I choose to do this stuff regularly. And the reason for me is that the quality of life that I get from being in recovery is just so vastly superior to what I had before that, you know, even I can see that. And I sort of feel like I'm not quite so arrogant to think that I can take that quality of life that I'm given 1 minute at a time and just run off with it, you know, and sort of do it all myself. Because I didn't do it all myself before, that's for sure, and I certainly tried. You know, I certainly tried to be clever and run my life and sort things out and everything before, and it was just a car crash the whole time. So, if I was ever unsure of that, you know, things that have happened to me while I've been in recovery have just shown me that so clearly. Because, you know, life takes its course. And I honestly thought when I came in, I thought, well, at least if I get clean and I do all this boring step work and go to these tedious meetings and have this sanctimonious sponsor and everything else, at least, you know, then I'll get lots of money and my... and my problems will be over. That's not what happens. What happens, you know, I've had periods in recovery where my life has just been peachy and I've thought, oh, yes, serenity. That, you know, I've got it now. I'm really serene and that was actually because I had, like, lots of cash in the bank and no particular issues going on at the time. But then I was diagnosed with cancer, and I didn't feel so serene after that suddenly. It really kind of shook me up, actually. But what happened was that I was, during that time, it was really, really frightening, and I was suddenly thrown into a whole kind of world that I knew nothing about. And I just came to meetings, because one thing that my sponsor said to me earlier on was, you know, I used to ring her up and go, my boyfriend's tried to kick my door in, and I've got no money, and I've lost my job, and everything. And she used to say, go to a meeting. I said, yeah, but you don't understand, go to a meeting, every day, go to a meeting. And I used to think, oh, really, you know, there's got to be more to life than just go to a meeting. But when things got really difficult for me, I went to a meeting. You know, that's what I did, because that's what I learned to do early on, and that's what I always did. And I turned up to meetings, and I sat in meetings, and I thought, you know, really, I should be, you know, at home crying on the couch and everything. But I actually sat in the meeting and cried, and all my hair fell out, and sat in the meeting and cried. And what happened was that people picked me up and looked after me, and they took me to the hospital, and they drove me to meetings, and they came round to my house, and they cooked me dinner, and they took my rubbish out, and they went to the supermarket for me. And I did not come into recovery thinking, okay, I'll do this, and, you know, then when I get cancer they'll look after me. But that's what happened. You know, that's what happened to me in NA. And that's what we do here. You know, we live a life of fellowship, and it's quite it's revolutionary, actually. You know, nobody else lives like this, really, apart from maybe in a spiritual retreat or something like that. But we do it in the real world, and it's quite an extraordinary thing. And I can turn up, you know, after I had the treatment for the cancer, my boyfriend left me. I was in another country. I had a breakdown. I went to meetings there. You know, and there were people there that I didn't even know, and they picked me up and looked after me and took me to meetings, and some of them are now really close friends. And when I came in here, I didn't really feel that I was a person that people liked, you know. I still struggle with that, you know. I have a lot of character traits that I think are probably quite difficult for people to cope with, but somehow or another, despite you know the way that I behave and what I think about myself, I seem to have a lot of people around me who are always around me, no matter what happens, and they're always there. And I would say that those people are friends, you know, and those people. I've not had that kind of continuity of friendships and relationships before in my life, you know. I've had lots of friends, you know, people that I hung out with and did stuff with, but people who were there for me all the time, no matter what. And I just got used to that, you know, because that's what happens in recovery. But it's happened despite me, you know, and it's happened just because I've turned up here and done this stuff. And again, you know, it wasn't why I came into recovery, but it's why I stay in recovery. So in recovery I have an ability to get through each day, no matter what happens. I have friends. I have a feeling of connection with the whole world, and that's what, you know, that's for me, that's what I call higher power, you know. And I don't have a belief in a God who intervenes and moves all the pieces around, but I believe in connection. And I get all of that in recovery, and you know, I wouldn't trade that for a glass of wine. You know, I wouldn't trade that for the ability to stay in on a Friday night, you know, washing my hair rather than going to a meeting. It's just, you know, it's riches beyond what I ever dreamed of. And I'm really, really pleased to be here. And if you're new, I'd encourage you to come and find out what's on offer here, because it's immensely rewarding. Thank you.